The following program is rated M for a mature audience. Ooh. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too, here's Nate.
Not polar vortex cooler, but... you know what I mean.
Ice baby cold?
Oh.
That's too cold.
It is too cold.
All right.
Too cold.
What's up with... are we allowed to swear now, finally?
Yes, because there was a warning about coarse language.
Oh, heck yeah.
Only
yeah.
Australian coarse language, I think.
Yeah. Oh, crikey.
It is. I enjoyed that. Hey, coming up on today's show, we're going to change some stuff up.
Yay.
We'll explain why you should not laugh at a queef.
Too late.
We'll take a look at a new watch that some are calling in bad taste.
Some
people are. Plus, some bad things happen when you're wearing Google Glass and you're not a member of the Sacramento Kings.
Impossible.
Nothing bad could happen.
What
with a Google
go
Glass?
What could go wrong?
I know. What could go wrong?
Yes, we'll find out.
We will find out.
Ooh.
I actually don't know, so I'm excited.
Oh, I don't know either, but Google Glasses seem like a double-edged sword of craziness.
Mm-hmm.
With great power comes great... yeah, anyway.
Absolutely.
Google Glasses. Distract, yeah, exactly.
Well, it was funny because on Friday night, the Kings did their deal where they had Google Glass on, and they had them on, like, I think during warm-up, and the arena announcer had them on during the game, and they cut to them occasionally in the broadcast. They didn't look very good during, but it's fine to record it and play it back, but when they took it live, it looked very bad compared to the HD video that was coming through. And the ancient Kings announcers, because the Sacramento Kings announcers are, I would guess their median age to be about 75.
Oh, and they put them in Google Glass? Like, here, wear this.
Well, no, but what they were doing was they were saying, coming up at halftime, the Google Glasses. And it's like,
oh, God.
Somebody brief old Father Time there that it's Google Glass, but...
the Yahoo bifocals.
I like that.
That's a pretty good idea.
That's coming next, the Yahoo bifocals. Mm. How'd that go?
And then we need like a Alta Vista monocle or something.
Yeah. I think it would be an Ask Jeeves monocle,
oh,
right?
There you go. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, like an Alta Vista clear crystal stream. Like a bottle of water you'd carry. I don't know. I was trying to go for a mountain thing. It failed. Move on. Okay. Move on.
So
the joke didn't work.
Oh,
but your Ask Jeeves was golden.
Thank you.
So you're batting 500.
Which is better than most baseball players.
That's so true. Christiana, how was your week? You were away from us last week.
It was
a travel time for you.
It was travel time. I had a conference with my kids, which is always fun. It is... I need a little bit more volume.
Did you elect a governor?
We did not. We didn't elect a governor, but we did. Our girl did advance to the next round, which was super awesome. She had to build her coalition, get people to come to a political convention, and she got enough votes to go on to the next round. So she's one of five candidates who will go. Then they'll narrow it down to two, and then there'll be a winner. So we'll see. Of the five, three are girls,
which is
great because they're it's been at least 12 years, or put in a slightly different but equally depressing way, there's been one gal governor, youth governor elected in the past 16 years. So the odds are in our favor. We'll see what actually happens.
If only ladies would vote for ladies.
No joke. But yeah, it's great. So now we're coming up to my favorite time of year in a couple weeks. So if you're in Sacramento over President's Day weekend in downtown, you will see 3,000 people in varying interesting interpretations of what makes for professional dress. Pretty much. I get a lot of texts from friends about like, oh my God, what are they wearing? Or just shots of like skirts or shoes specifically.
No.
And then I used to, when our good friend Brian Crawl from the Sacramento Comedy Spot still worked at the airport, I'd get texts from him like, why are they all here? They don't tip. Oh my God. Cause there'd just be like an extra 2,000, young people wandering confused around the Sacramento airport. I don't know. I don't know about that sound effect. I don't know what that means.
It means rubbing your head with like you have a migraine.
I hope so. I hope that's what that
it's
one
It's not
meant.
A queef thing, no.
Cool.
That's something else altogether.
So, anyway, it's fun. I'm glad. I'm excited. It's exciting, and it's good to get to the end of the program here.
No, there you go.
Dear God, please. Let it be over for now.
Ted and Becca, did you guys have a fun week?
Yeah. I did something that I actually maybe should talk to Christiana about. I found myself yesterday at the Red Lion Inn at the Quinceañera Expo.
Oh my God. I totally want to go to that. Did you go to it for work?
I did. And
that's amazing.
I watched an hour long fashion show of the largest ball gowns I have ever seen, accompanied by ear splitting Latin pop music.
Fantastic.
Is there any other kind of Latin pop music, really?
Sure. Shakira. but it was amazing, and I'll be writing about it, and I actually have some copies of Quinceañera magazine that I was reading over dinner because I'm trying to teach myself the ins and outs. Christiana, did you go to Quinceañeras?
Nope.
Or have one?
No. I did not have one. I've also never been to a bar bat mitzvah, even
Aww.
Though I
Me
have
neither.
Jewish friends, but I don't know. I guess I wasn't that good.
So
all those cultural coming of age events, and I didn't have a sweet 16 either.
Oh,
so
I'm confused how you didn't have a Quinceañera. Not I'm not confused. I'm puzzled as to why you didn't.
Well, not everybody does. And I'm just, my family did not celebrate that particular aspect of culture, I guess.
Okay.
And
I don't know.
Honestly, at this event that I was
and it would have been that my parents talked about Quinceañeras never in favorable terms.
Oh.
So,
it was like my super sweet 16 to them?
It is like my super sweet 16.
I've been doing research. The average Quinceañera is something around $25,000.
Whoa.
It has all of the... I mean, you have to do like your dresses and tuxes for your whole party. You have the cake, the DJ, the flowers, the photography. I mean, it's essentially everything you need for a wedding.
The funny thing is, speaking of that, this past summer when Hootie and Mrs. Hootie were in town, we went to Old Sacramento and rode the train.
Mm-hmm.
And there was what I believe to be a Quinceañera sort of thing going on, and they were out taking pictures. Yep. It was either that or the youngest prom in history.
Yeah.
Did they look fantastic?
They looked overdressed.
Well, yes.
Fantastically overdressed?
So, Christiana, wait, I'm curious. So what is your parents' take on Quinceañeras?
It's a terrible, gaudy waste of money, I think. It's not a cultural thing to be celebrated. It's a terrible, gaudy waste of money. And the girls look like creepy young brides, and it's weird.
That is absolutely correct, based upon my experience.
It is. You have to have a
at
lot
least
of
seeing that one.
I don't know, but I mean, you could throw aside from the giant ball gowns,
right?
You could throw the same. This is a terrible lot of money, and it's not in all cases. Like the average has been creeping up, but it is possible to have a Quinceañera that doesn't cost $25,000. Just like not every bar or bat mitzvah costs, $30,000 and features NSYNC or something.
Right.
Mine didn't. What a ripoff.
And for the record, I love the dresses. They are amazing. And I don't know. I watched, maybe because I just saw like 100 of them yesterday, but they're fantastic. And I kind of wish I could just try one on for a minute.
I think you can. And I think we just planned our next field trip.
Oh.
Why not?
But it is a lot of money considering that, 3 years later is college.
Right.
$20,000 right then can be tough, but
you have the money.
It's a lovely tradition, like she becomes a woman and
she gets a doll of herself to give away.
Yeah, that's part of the tradition that I read about that online, but I did not see much of that at the expo.
I mean, I don't know that much about the tradition really. But I don't know. It's not like every Hispanic girl does it or every Latin culture does it to that extreme. It's a particular attribute for particular sort of subculture. The way that gigantic sweet 16s are. I mean, they're not the norm. They weren't the norm for my friends. I mean, people had regular birthday parties when they turned 16. Nobody had anything remotely super.
So none of your friends had dads who were like big car dealers, because having watched the MTV show My Super Sweet 16, everybody's dad was either a car dealer or a dentist.
Is that's
that
what
show.
It takes?
Yeah, you've got to be raking in some big dough to be rolling out that sort of thing. I mean, you're talking the low ones on that show were like $50,000.
Yeah.
And some of them were like, oh, we need to book this entertainment. Well, that's $50,000. Okay. And then they would cap it off with like a $40,000, $50,000 car for a gift.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had hot borscht at my bar mitzvah. That's the name of the band.
Oh, nice.
Hot borscht.
Hot borscht, y'all. Look them up on Spotify. They can't be beat.
So rarely do we get to hear the cats fighting on the show, but we heard the rustling you just heard was not any person hitting the mic stand. It was my cats rolling around hitting the mic stand.
Oh, cats.
So, Ted, do you know what the budget for your bar mitzvah was?
I honestly have no idea, but it was pretty exorbitant, and I spent at least an hour of that party upstairs watching Saturday Night's Main Event with my friends.
Fully Jewish.
Yeah, it was a fully Jewish main event. Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff in a steel cage. Unprecedented Saturday Night's Main Event match. Anyone? No? Controversial and Danny Davis?
I love that, though, that it's like, okay. Was your bar mitzvah like in a hotel or something?
No, it was at the synagogue's reception center. So there was a big reception area with balloons and dancing and hot borscht kicking mad beats. And then the boys upstairs in the little uncomfortable TV room watching Saturday Night's Main Event.
Nice.
You know, Judaism, son.
That's right. Bam.
I had a really nice confirmation party. It was not big and attended by like a ton of people, but it was very nice.
How old are you when you're confirmed? Like eighth grade?
Somewhere between 8th and 10th. It sort of depends. It's usually like a 14, 15. I think I was 14.
Yeah.
Did you have a fancy dress?
I did.
Me too.
Not that fancy. Like fancy church dress. Like a fancy dress.
I forgot you guys were in the same tradition. Did you have a confirmation party?
No. No party. But I was confirmed.
Catholicism, son.
We went to like brunch.
I didn't really necessarily want to do it. It was something that I did for my mom.
Aw.
I was like, okay.
That's how we all do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that was like, all right.
Do you get mad presents for your confirmation?
No.
Oh, that's
no, you don't get mad presents for anything when you're Catholic.
Christmas.
You know what you get, Ted? Mad guilt.
Oh, we get that, too.
It's true, you get mad guilt.
Jews get
we
that.
Got, for those events, we got like nice jewelry, not a lot of it, but like a pretty, you know, like a gold cross or like a something, you know, sentimental or keepsakey like that.
Yeah.
Maybe like a engraved Bible or whatever.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's nothing like, oh, I got an Audi.
A rosary.
Yeah.
Not an Audi. No.
No, not at all. Hey, you know who had a week?
Ooh.
Justin Bieber.
He did have a week.
Oh, I was guessing.
He did have a week. And hold on, I have to do this. Where did it go? It all went away.
What happened? I can fill the space. La, 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 la.
No, you can't.
Vamp.
Actually, let me talk about my week briefly before we go forward.
Oh, yeah. I saw on Facebook that you went to see hockey.
I did. I went to the Minnesota Wild versus the San Jose Sharks.
Go Sharks.
In San Jose. They won.
Yay.
They beat the Wild in the overtime.
The Wild.
Ooh, that sounds like an exciting game.
It was. It was a really good game. There's no bad seat at the Shark Tank or the SAP Center. Yes,
Shark
it's
Tank.
The SAP Center.
But went
to San Jose, met up with some friends, went to the LGB. Yeah, it's the Los Gatos Brewery or LGB.
Oh,
I was like TQ. What are
and I did. I was standing outside. I'm like, I want to put a T on the window.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Then every gay person will think I'm awesome. Vandalism, son. I will say this: the beer at Los Gatos Brewing, very good.
The cat's meow.
The fish and chips, not so much.
No.
It was the Kate Moss of fish and chips.
What, like very skinny?
Skinny.
Yeah, it was like somebody took a piece of fish and pounded it out
cocaine?
Thin.
Ah.
Pounded it out thin so you could like slide it under a door.
Whoa. How do you even do that?
Yeah, I don't
That's
know.
Not right.
It was
like
bad.
A flounder?
Yeah, and it was
flounder.
And it was $16
just for the halibut.
Ah.
$16 for fish and chips, and there was virtually fish in it. Yeah, I was pissed.
Oh.
But yeah, the Shark went to the game there, got a hotel, so stayed overnight in San Jose, which was
fancy.
Nice.
Oh, you super fancy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And my favorite thing to say now is... I've been looking at new shoes. I've ordered new running shoes because mine are beat up, and I was watching some reviews online. I tried on some at Fleet Feet, and they didn't have exactly what I wanted, so I ordered some online. But there's a shoe, and it is called the Hoka One One Rapa Nui 2.
Is it Hawaiian?
I don't know.
Is it made of palm leaves and coconut shells?
Oh, if only.
Can you go clippity cloppity clippity cloppity?
Awesome. I just enjoy saying hoka one one Rapa Nui too.
Yeah,
that is really
cool.
Hunu hunu
nuku nuka pua.
And that's not what I'm getting. I'm getting the hoka one one Bondi too.
Bondi,
which is a little bit different. Hey Ace, if you could not be rolling around and hitting the mic stand, that would be great.
You are off this show, Mister.
He gives no fucks.
He does not. He left all of his fucks in the other room, and he has none to give. Because he's
a cat.
Oh,
he just wants them. Oh, yeah. I try to get to that, too. The Quinceañera magazine.
Oh, okay.
Which I always almost pick up when I'm at Cilantro's. Anyway.
No, I think he's just going to try and go in the bag. But, yeah, fun night. And here's the fun thing about San Jose. Not as many homeless people around as in Sacramento. But the ones that I did see, crazy as fuck.
Oh, they're the professionals.
They were wait, so the number lower, but the crazy quotient got to be pretty close. My craziest homeless person, and I felt bad for this guy, is Sunday morning we're walking to try and get brunch. And this guy is walking across a courtyard in front of a very nice brunch place that had a super long line coming out, so we didn't go. And he's walking, talking to himself, picking his nose and eating it while walking.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's saving time by having breakfast while he walks.
Mm.
Gross. Sorry. No, that was not cool.
But the hotel, and this will be the part you'll all enjoy.
Will we?
There was a cheerleader convention in town.
Oh, I love those.
Yay.
So nothing but, I would guess, about 11-year-old girls in cheerleader outfits.
Okay.
With their coaches who all had like coach embroidered attire. This was some sort of big hairy cheerleading deal. Ooh. And the hotel was filled with them.
Yikes.
So was
yeah.
it like every car in the parking lot had like the paint on the outside of the windows?
Oh, no,
was
no,
like,
no.
Go, go.
No, no, this is the Marriott downtown I valeted.
Oh, fancy.
You have no idea.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yes. I'm just going to guess.
I'm going to guess a lot of them flew in.
They frequently overlap. There's a cheerleading event that happens in February that sometimes overlaps with our conference too, and then it's everybody just looks ridiculous. So, yeah.
But you don't know who's who.
Nope.
The cool thing that's going on in San Jose that we didn't do because the full Jedi experience was not available on Sunday. It was sold out until Monday. They have the Star Wars exhibit at the Tech Museum in downtown San Jose.
Oh, I did not know.
And
nerd.
It's an absolute nerd fest. Jeez. But it's $22 to get in and see the Star Wars stuff. But for the Jedi package, which includes the full Millennium Falcon experience.
What?
Yeah. I don't know
there
what that is.
Go.
But the full Millennium Falcon experience, that's an extra $5.
Makes
so
sense.
It didn't make sense. And it was like, okay, whatever. Wait. So it didn't go. But did go to the gift shop at the Tech Museum. So much nerd stuff.
What did you get us?
Nothing. You got nothing.
Oh.
You know what I got you?
What?
Imagination.
Oh, thank you. That's all George Lucas needed.
It's true.
And then he had, except for CGI, to make his imagination more in line with what he thought.
Yeah, and how did that work out in the end?
Oh.
When he got more CGI.
Yeah.
When we got Jar Jar Binks.
Way to go, Lucas.
So, anyway, that's...
what was that?
Yeah, well...
It's just general Jar Jar malaise.
Oh, you get sick of that guy.
Hey, by the way.
Are we already in Florida?
Well, we're going a little bit out of order this week because you know what happened in Florida?
Something involving Bieber?
Justin Bieber happened in Florida.
Yay.
He sure did.
Oh, he sure did. He's the worst.
I'm going to go ahead and turn that down. Because
you know they legit can kick him out of the country or prevent him from coming back.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
depending on
that?
Whatever he pleased to.
I read an
they
article
could.
In the LA Times where they really
yeah.
sort of laid out what the odds were. Oh, Nate posted it. Nate's like, yes, I remember that article.
Isn't he too valuable a commodity to send to Canada?
No, he's theirs. So for the details of the arrest, let's go live to CNN. Not live, but to CNN and Ashley Banfield.
And here's the hard part. I want to be able to read this for you, but it is so filled with expletives that I'm going to have to do some edit fly.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm going to edit on the fly because the police officer who responded said that it is just rife with F-bombs. Part of it is, why did you stop me? Why the F are you doing this? What the F did I do? I ain't got no effing weapons. Why the F... I think that's supposed to be, what the F are you doing? Wait, I think we just got the mugshot in of Justin Bieber at the Miami Well, so I wouldn't be smiling if I were you, young Justin Drew Bieber, because a mugshot is nothing to be proud of. Oh. Maybe it gives you street cred in the music world.
I don't think it does.
But he could be in a world of hurt, couldn't he, over this?
He could, but look, if...
Okay. That's the most embarrassing news commentary. She just suddenly became like a mom.
I know. She dropped the middle name.
Like no objectivity whatsoever.
Yeah, and I don't know Justin Bieber's middle name. So, that led to the then split screen dividing up of the face of Miley Cyrus to Justin Bieber morphing.
Oh yeah. God.
They have the same face. It's scary.
But I think Miley's doing worlds better, honestly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The arrest report, it has his middle name. Sorry, Justin Drew Bieber, who lives at 25202 Prado del Grandiso in Calabasas.
Road trip.
Let's
I'm sorry,
by.
Calabasas. Come the fuck on.
What's that?
It's just in the valley. I don't take it. I mean,
it's where
I'm
the Kardashians
sure it's like
live.
I know, but Calabasas.
Like, why does he live in the valley when he has all the money in the world?
Why does he live in that part of the valley? He
Acreage.
Can live in the valley, but I guess. Ugh, Calabasas, no. Just no.
Getting regional.
I can't give it. I can't explain. I just say no.
At 4:13 a.m., he was arrested for street racing, drunken, whatever. Apparently, his dad is the one who helped close off the street so that they could race at 60 miles an hour.
He did?
Yeah, because that's what every dad... Wouldn't your dad do the same?
Rebecca knows my dad.
Trying to picture your dad orchestrating a drag race.
Your Theodore, line up the cars over there. No, you're not doing it the right order. You're putting too much gas. It's not environmental.
It would definitely be very methodical and organized.
Yes, and a lot of critique on technique and things like that.
So
that's my pop.
So Justin Bieber has fled the country now, but not back to Canada. He's somewhere else. Now the Miami Police Department is catching heat because he was not... Here's
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. He was drunk, but not drunk. Because if you were over 21, it would not be a DUI. But because he's under 21, it does qualify as a DUI. They're not necessarily sure it was absolutely street racing. And he apparently didn't necessarily have any drugs in his system. So to be determined what's going to happen with all this. But our friend Adam Hills from Australia, who we introduced everybody to last week on the show, he has a Justin Bieber rant from earlier this year, from March, or last year, rather, that I think is appropriate, even though it was like seeing into the future.
Here right now that needs to be said to Justin Bieber, and it probably hasn't been said to him in a while. Dude, are you okay? Seriously, you're acting kind of weird. I mean, there's lots of pressure on you. You've got 35 million Twitter followers. There are more believers in the world than there are Belgians right now. And you're responsible for them. Seriously. Come over. We'll order pizza. We'll watch some DVDs. Aww. We'll have some downtime, man. I'm not worried you might become Britney Spears. I'm worried you might become Michael Jackson. Just look after yourself, bro. Seriously. And if you are actually okay and all of this is just the behaviour of a normal 19-year-old who's had one too many bongs, ignore everything I've said. You're being a dick.
So
nice.
That was actually really... I appreciated that.
Yeah, that's from March of 2013. So stay tuned for Bieber news, but that happened in Florida.
I kind of also think, and I mean, it probably goes without saying, but enough. If everybody hates Bieber, don't talk about Bieber. That's what makes celebrities go away. Literally, don't talk about them anymore. And there was like everybody freaked out over MSNBC, you know, the headlines that say, don't go after my bag. Go back to Becca's.
That's not what MSNBC said.
No.
There's more cat attacks happening.
It would if it heard about this. But that that MSNBC like interrupted a congresswoman to break to like Bieber's arraignment or whatever.
Oh,
and like,
yeah,
oh, this is
that.
What's wrong with society. Which is kind of true, but she a former congresswoman. And like, why anybody would be surprised that, there you go, you got it.
Yeah.
Why anybody would be surprised that a 24-hour news channel would have to find some way to like drag shit out for 24 hours.
Yeah, but this was actually happening. This was something that was happening now.
We consider not continuing.
Congresswoman, let me interrupt you just for a moment. We've got some breaking news out of Miami. Stand by, if you will.
Right now in Miami, Justin Bieber has been arrested on a number of charges. The judge is reading the charges, including resisting arrest.
And I'm pretty sure part of Andrea Mitchell probably died a bit inside having to do that.
Yeah, but prattling on with a former congresswoman about how the NSA needs to go. I don't know.
It wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they interrupted a former congresswoman who was going on for probably about the 8th minute about the same thing.
Yeah.
Whoop-de shit.
She's my former congresswoman.
And no one
nice
is watching. No one's watching MSNBC. So what does it matter? Also in Florida, jurors may have to see some stuff they might never be able to unsee if a defendant who's acting as his own attorney gets his way. The South Florida man wants to introduce sex tapes and intimate photographs of himself and his wife as evidence in his criminal trial to prove that his marriage was real and not just undertaken for immigration purposes. That is a man committed.
Because he had sex with someone doesn't mean he was in it for maybe he was in it for two things: sex and to live in America.
Yeah, the trial of Rogerio Scotton, which started in federal court in Fort Lauderdale, has nothing to do with sex. The Brazilian-born former professional race car driver who lives in Boca Raton before his arrest in March of 2012 is charged with 27 counts of mail fraud and 2 counts of lying to immigration authorities. The businessman is accused of operating a multimillion-dollar mail fraud involving shipping companies FedEx, UPS, and DHL. Prosecutors say he stole millions of dollars from the shippers by creating phony accounts that fraudulently billed major companies like Target, Walmart, and Apple for 5 years, between 2007 and 2012. His online business, which sold electronic goods to Brazil, used phony accounts to ship his customers' purchases overseas. That's according to the indictment. He's representing himself in court after a falling out with a succession of 6 defense lawyers who represented him.
Oh,
he is adamant that he is innocent of all charges.
I'm sure he is.
So welcome to Florida via Brazil, sir. Good luck to you.
He could be a porn star next, maybe. He plays his cards right.
I don't think so.
But
yeah,
he has tapes. Maybe that's the worst. I don't know. All right.
It's so fitting for Florida Corner.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And I moved it up because Justin Bieber demands top of the show coverage. All right. I found this on Cracked, which is a weird website. It's a list, 4 ways we're programmed to think women aren't funny. And let me just start out by saying that I think a lot of this is crap. I'm going to get that right out on the table before I start. Number 4, girls are nurtured to not tell jokes. I don't recall ever seeing that, but your ladies, is that part of your experience? Were you ever told don't tell jokes?
No, but you get told not to, not to be as smart, or you're not necessarily rewarded for it. And I think comedy is.
Nope, that's not the issue on the table.
Smart.
That is not the issue on the table.
If you're told or culturized not to stand out, then jokes is part of that. So,
nope,
I don't know.
Not tell jokes. Becca, were you ever told not to tell jokes?
Not as a child.
Okay. There you go. Number
I think Ted might have been told not to tell jokes as a child.
That's because I was.
You're not funny. I think.
No, it's you're not cute and you're not funny.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
And you know what?
Well, it's just my dad who said it, so I'm sure he made it from the best possible place.
Well, and that's the other thing.
But Ted, you are cute and funny.
Thanks, honey.
Stop pulling on the headphones.
I can't help it. I'm being cute and funny.
It wasn't me for once.
For what?
Oh,
no.
Man, it's always mine that goes out.
Ted hooks up. You're out again?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hold on.
Okay.
I'm back. I'm out.
You're back. You're out.
I'm in.
No, I have to actually read
that. I'm in. I'm out. No. Nope.
What is happening over there?
Chicka bow bow.
That's what she said. What? I'm out again.
Oh, boy.
Okay. No.
This is riveting podcasting.
There we go.
You
don't
all.
Touch it.
I'm not touching it.
We're good.
We're not
right.
Doing
what she said. Okay, so number one, probably not.
What is it? What is their argument for saying? Because I didn't do my homework. What do they say? Like, what do they say to back up that girls are told not to?
Laughter is so important to humans that we learn how to do it shortly after we figure out how to crap ourselves. Within weeks of birth, babies are laughing even though they don't yet have
weeks.
The cognitive development to understand why something is funny. By the time they're 4, children are laughing about 15 times an hour. So kids will laugh at pretty much anything. But what about producing humor themselves? In a landmark study, one researcher found that women make the same number of jokes as men when they're children, but around age 6, something changes. The number of jokes girls make decreases and never evens out again.
Are you reading it like that because you just want to give it no credence whatsoever, Nate?
No, I'm reading it because I think that's how a researcher would say it.
Oh, I think this leads up to what I'm saying, which is they're not told not to tell jokes. They're told to shut up generally.
The word is actually...
Girls are rewarded for being quiet.
It says girls are nurtured to not tell jokes, not girls are told not to tell jokes, which I think Nate is actually what he said.
Well, the other thing...
Girls are taught to be quiet.
Exactly.
They go on to... Think back to elementary school. You probably had a class clown, and it was almost certainly a boy. Boys are allowed to be loud and funny and play practical jokes and annoying little shits. Okay, but we're not allowed to. We get yelled at as much as anybody else. I mean...
Yeah, but it's excused more as a boys will be boys, where when girls do it, you call in parents and have an intervention and figure out what's like deeply wrong.
That's interesting, because now that you mention it, I don't remember there ever being a class clown that was a girl.
No,
like I have tons of class clowns in my memory. They're all boys.
And were they ever told, "My gosh, you're funny," by the teacher? Or were they told to stop it?
Oh no, yeah, no, it
over
wasn't good.
Over and over and over. Yeah. Just so what I'm learning from this is men are just more persistent about it. Moving on, number three, men get.
Wait, what was number two?
This we start from four. Four, three, two, one.
I get it.
Yeah, number three, humor gets men laid. Okay. When a woman laughs at a joke, the reward center of her brain lights up like crazy. The reward center of the is the part of the brain that makes you feel good when you eat chocolate or have sex or key your ex's car. So making a woman laugh results in a hugely pleasurable experience for her, because laughing isn't good for anybody else, which can lead to an even more pleasurable experience for both of you. And then there's a joke about pregnancy. This means that tens of thousands of years of being funny was an evolutionary benefit and possibly a necessity for men. Women were more likely to be interested in funny guys, so being funny meant your pull my finger joke could keep muddying the gene pool for generations to come. Yes, because the guy who goes pull my finger is the one who gets all the chicks. This whole article is just full of half-assed logic.
But it is really true, actually, that the part that is true is that I think male comics are more likely to get attention from the opposite sex based on their routines than women are,
judging from
hanging in the comedy scene.
Yep.
Like, women will approach men who are on stage, and men don't approach women who are on stage as much.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. And for whatever reason, I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the women who are successful on stage are very strong. Their personality is very strong. And there's a lot of guys who are afraid to approach a woman like that, because you always have that fear of rejection and being shut down. And when you know that the woman is already 100 times quicker than you, you're probably not as likely to go up to her. So... Part of this is absolutely true and plausible, but it's just sort of... Number two, laughing at women's jokes feels unnatural.
Oh, boo.
Such bullshit. The logic, the fact that so many men choose being funny over being with someone who's funny is part of a wider point on jokes and gender roles. In a way, humor is a type of power. Making quips about someone, even in a nice way, is exerting a kind of control over them. And since power is something we associate with men, humor is therefore seen as more of a masculine than a feminine quality.
No, boo. Okay, that was all complete BS. And, well, like, what is that whole, like, men don't choose to be with someone who's funny? I mean, is that actually a choice that anybody makes?
I think some women... Well, I think this whole thing is using humor or comedy or jokes as stand-in for other traits.
Right.
Really? I mean, if we swapped out the word powerful for pretty much every time it appears, I think the like social research does kind of hold up that men tend to shy away from smart, quick ladies.
And I thought a lot about this. I thought a lot about this one in particular, because I spent a lot of time around funny women and female comics. And if you watch comedy on TV with a lot of successful women, the basis of a lot of their humor is really shitting on guys. Whereas the basis of a lot of guys' humor is shitting on guys. So, yeah, if you're funny, but the basis of most of your funny is guys are so stupid.
Who's basic? What?
Have you watched a comedy on TV ever? A sitcom?
Yes. Yeah.
Any one of them?
Yes.
Like,
and the guys are all really smart and capable? No.
Well, I don't know. What sitcoms do I watch? I watch Parks and Recreation. That doesn't seem to be based on guys being
stupid. No, the guys aren't smart and capable, but the women are all neutering bitches. Like, take Modern Family.
Oh, I don't watch that show.
Yeah, I don't watch that show either.
Nobody should, because it way jumped the shark a long time ago, but Yeah, I mean, they're the sort of, I guess you could make the argument, the main couple. The guy's a buffoon.
Yeah.
And the woman is increasingly just the most unpleasant woman you'd ever want to be around.
Now,
so yeah, they're making fun of guys, but in no way are they putting the woman like higher up in the world. It's better to be a buffoon than to be this fucking harpy.
That is kind of an annoying stereotype, I feel like, of movies and other things. This sort of like man child or bumbling husband who can't really figure things out or know where things are or like be attentive to feelings. You know, that's kind of a stereotype of a
but
lot
it,
of.
But in the end, it's usually okay.
Oh,
take
yeah.
like every Judd Apatow movie. Oh. They're all buffoons, but they're all A-okay in the end. Like
Judd Apatow needs to go away. He's done. Ugh. He's out of ideas.
Knocked Up drives me up the wall.
I don't. You and Katherine Heigl should get together and complain about it. Because she already did.
I know.
Except it made her a star. And number one, we'll move on from this. Number one, you're already biased. If this article had been written by a man, you would have thought it was funnier. Science says so. Actually, I didn't look at who wrote it until after I was done. Sorry, honey. Yeah, see what I did there? In one study, participants were asked to rank the humor in various cartoon captions. Half of the captions had been written by men, half by women. When not told who wrote what, the participants judged them almost equally funny. In fact, based on the scores given in this experiment, men are just 2.2% more likely to be funny than women. Yet 90% of the participants agreed with the stereotype that men are funnier. Talk about a mind-bogglingly huge difference in perception versus reality. I don't know about that study, and maybe that's true. One of the shows I like to watch is At Midnight. Now, you guys have watched. You've said you've
We've
watched
seen it once.
Okay, and they've got a variety of people that are on, and usually it's either three guys or two guys and one woman. And it's funny when you watch it and they have this thing at the end where you have to write a very specific thing. And then the audience, whichever one the audience responds to the loudest is the one that wins. As I'm watching it, I can normally tell which one was written by the guy and which one was written by the woman. But it's 50-50 as to which one's going to win because it's gone both ways. So I've seen evidence that this study is also crap.
Okay, there you go.
I just don't buy it. I mean, yes, there are situations where it's been a problem, but I don't know a single person who's like, oh my God, that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are just not funny at all. I can't laugh at them.
Well, they're sort of the rare exceptions. And I think if you're going to try to turn this into an argument that, like, women don't have it so bad in comedy, that's just wrong. I don't think you have to go further than a few blocks from here to see that. And I mean, we're lucky enough to be in a community here that's, as comedy goes, pretty welcoming of both. However, there's still, I mean, it's not an equal art form. No art form is really an equal art form.
No, it is. It
this
isn't.
Is, it's not an equal art form.
What's your argument that there's more men than women doing it?
Yeah.
Because if you go to classes, the number of men to women that show up is bears out the percentages of men to women on stage normally. If you go to a class,
okay,
and see if,
but that's still so that's sort of a pipeline argument. But it all roots in the same thing,
right? But if women aren't showing up to even participate,
why aren't they showing up? Because they're not interested in being funny.
I mean, that's the real issue.
Well, I think the reason is if they're feeling like they can't make it in the comedy world, then maybe they're not going to show up to a class to learn comedy.
Because there's a lot of subtle ways in which women are not welcome in the comedy world. So, and it's not. I just don't think. Maybe it's a cracked article. It's not going to be tremendously in-depth or well-reasoned, but if you're still having very prominent, large publications in the country who not too long ago will publish articles about, like, why women aren't funny. I mean, the shit's real. The stereotype is real. These have a basis in, you know, evidence-based science research. Like, this is a thing. This is not a thing.
It's a thing. Let me be clear. My biggest problem was the article itself and how it was presented. Because when you present bullshit that's based, you know, when you take something that's a legitimate argument and then you build an argument based on speculation and bullshit and with a few little faux scientific facts, you do a great disservice to whatever you're trying to advocate for.
Yeah, probably crack.com's not really a great source.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They're not, and I will yell at them about something else.
This was on my Facebook page, just so you all know. Is this where you found it, Nate?
Probably.
Okay, cool. Thanks. I think my wall has become a place to pull thing out and call me out on shit on the show. Which
well,
is
you're
awesome.
You're the one who called you out, Ted.
Oh no!
I didn't.
Cool.
I didn't.
I'm just
think
saying
I
a more subtle
here.
Thing.
Well,
I just want to get it out there that I'm noticing these things. So
no,
cool.
That's fine.
Oh no,
I
of course
what,
it's great.
What we should do is take Christiana's Bieber strategy and apply it to the question of whether or not women are funny like human beings. Let's just stop talking about it, and it will go away.
Let's just say this: some women are funny, and some women aren't. And some guys are funny and some aren't. And why don't we judge everybody individually? How about that? Can we all agree on that?
I want to write like a pro anthem song about comedy, like an Ebony and Ivory.
A pro anthem song?
Of like a women and men.
Penises and vaginas together on stage. Being funny. No?
Hi. Yeah.
That could lead to entirely different kind of performance art.
Oh yeah.
You frame it that
performance
way.
Performance art would be bad. Hey, it's time to talk about Google Glass and why it's dangerous to you. Or potentially dangerous to you. This is happening in America, people. An Ohio man claims to have been detained and interrogated by the Department of Homeland Security officers for 3 hours, accused of being part of a major film piracy ring after wearing Google Glass to the movies. The man who wrote a detailed account of the incident to the tech website Gadgeteer, which I've never heard of, but
like the Rocketeer?
Could be. That would be exciting. Said that he was at the AMC Cinemas in Columbus, Ohio, with his wife when the incident occurred. He was wearing, the article here says Google Glasses, but it's Google Glass. It's a wearable computer shaped like eyewear that layers digital information over the real world, which he had his prescription lenses fitted into. About 1 hour into the showing of Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, the man said some federal service agents snatched the glasses from his face and asked him to leave the theater. The man said between 5 to 10 police were waiting outside for him and accused him of illegally taping the movie. There must be no crime.
I know. I know this is like, I hesitate to bring up this other story, but when we were talking about the shooting in the theater and the movie they were seeing was Lone Survivor,
yeah.
And now this is like the Jack Ryan spy espionage movie, and then the agents come in and like seize his like camera glass, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just
God
it's
help
weird.
You if you go see Frozen with a snow cone, because right? Shit, it's gonna go down,
right?
I don't normally do this, but I'm going to call shenanigans on this story just because that it's weird. And by the way, if you didn't see The Simpsons this past week, Mr. Burns handed out Google Glass to all the employees, although they were called Google goggles. Yes,
that makes sense.
It was actually a very funny Simpsons episode. So go back and check that out. And it has to do with something current and hip, because that's The Simpsons. So shenanigans on that. And more odd news from Pennsylvania. Police in Pennsylvania said a man who fled a home nearly nude due to an interrupted tryst made up a fake story about robbery to explain his state. Uniontown police said Keith Metz, who's 19, was having physical relations with a woman when her boyfriend arrived at the house at 2:46 a.m. and chased Metz out without his shirt, pants, shoes, hat, watch, and necklace.
In Pennsylvania at 3 in the morning?
Yep.
They could have probably saved time and said what he was wearing, which I guess was underwear and socks. Did I narrow that down right?
So not sexy.
Yeah.
Unless he
was he
up
having
with
sex
no
with his socks on? Because that's...
I don't know.
Can't do that.
It's not clear. But he didn't have his shoes on, but doesn't mention anything about his socks not being
on. True.
It's true. He was found walking with a blanket and a jacket given to him by the resident, and he told police that he had been walking home through an alley when 4 men attacked him and took his clothing and jewelry. Police followed his bare footprints in the snow and found not a single sign of a struggle. Who knew that there would be footy prints in the snow? An officer responding to the report of a disturbance at a nearby home was given Metz's clothes and jewelry by a woman who said he had fled without the items when another man interrupted their encounter. Metz was being treated by paramedics after he started vomiting. He was shown his clothing by the officer and told that police did not believe his story. Metz was having relations with the woman, police wrote in the report. The woman's boyfriend arrived and caught them. The boyfriend then chased the half-naked Metz out of the house.
So, once again, I believe this is also continuing a theme from last week, where you make up a story, but there's footprints in the snow that lead true. Back to the guy who, remember, who climbed up a tree, got out of the car and climbed up the tree and was like, oh, where's the driver of the car? They were like,
where are my kids?
There's only one set of footprints.
Yeah, it's sad times when that happens. That's so bad.
Important to know if you live in snow country. See, I'm a Californian. I might make that mistake, but, you know, East Coasters should know better.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. First of all, try and make sure that they don't have a significant other that's going to come home and interrupt you. Second, when you remove your clothes, put them all in one easy-to-grab pile.
Like a fireman.
Yes.
Like, sets his stuff ready so you can just step in and pull that shit up.
Or a hobo. Get your bindle on standby.
Right.
What about the passion where you sort of tear things off as you move through the house? And
no.
What do you mean? No.
Well, if you're being sneaky, I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do it. Listen, if you think you might have to beat a hasty retreat into the snow, you want to make sure that you can at least grab a pair of pants to throw on.
The only time I would do that through the house thing would just be like by the washing machine, so it's just efficient for later. You just
sound like a true mother.
Leave your stuff there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. No. No. I think maybe the moral here is if you're gonna don't cheat and lie about who you're having sex with, you don't have to worry about being caught by a boyfriend in the process.
Well, to be fair, he wasn't the one who was cheating. It was her.
But do you think he was unaware? He, sure, he could
it's
have been
possible
unaware.
He was completely unaware.
It is true. Okay.
But one never knows. But yes, if you're in a colder weather climate, or really any time that you're not sure something's going to go down, make sure your clothes is in one big pile so you can make an escape with at least some pants on. That's my tip from me to you.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa. All right. First up in Cooler Tool, I think we're all going to love this one. Hacky agenda columns with lists. Ted?
Well, if they're hacky and they have an agenda and they're dishonest and are baseless and have nothing to them but clickbait, then I guess they're Tool.
Becca?
Oh, I'm going to say Tool. And I also want to add the kind of headlines that are like, something happened. You won't believe what happens next.
They've just overtaken the world. Like the last week, there was like an article about how those were link bait, and everything I see is like a person went swimming on a canoe. What happens next is going to shock you. And like, yeah, I don't. It's not good. They all can't be that interesting.
No, I just stopped clicking on all of them now.
Yeah, Christiana.
I'm gonna say agenda columns are fine. I'm gonna just say cool because okay. I don't know. With all the things to get up an ire about, the cracked one wasn't the way to go.
I decided to be angry about it. Tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, Homeland Security. Homeland Security, Becca?
Oh.
Better say cool, they're come get you.
It's true.
I know, right?
Well, they're not the NSA, but they know them.
Yep,
well,
they're, yeah.
My first instinct is Tool, so I'm gonna stick with that.
Perfect. I like the courage. Christiana?
Homeland Security?
Yeah.
Tool.
Ted?
Yeah, I have to go with Tool also.
It's called Homeland Security. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and I didn't care for the second season of that show at all, so Tool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, coitus. Christiana?
Cool.
Becca?
Cool.
Ted?
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm kidding. Of course it's cool.
Coitus is cool.
Aww.
Except when you're cool after coitus, and then that's bad. It's bad times. Everything went up inside my body cavity.
That's the worst place for things to go. If you're a boy, there's a thing.
Yeah, if you're
everything of value, no.
Everything of value.
Two things of value.
Everyone sounded like our kitten all of a sudden. That's what our kitten sounds like.
That's funny.
He's awesome.
That's Cooler Tool for this week. Now, this I heard about this on the Colbert Report, and normally I don't talk about stuff that I see on the Colbert Report or the Daily Show, but this really I found interesting. It's something called Ticker, T-I-K-K-E-R. It's the happiness watch, or so they say. They're building a watch that counts down your life in order to make the world a better place. This is the video that they've put out there for crowdsourcing.
Hello, my name is Frederick.
Hi,
and
Fred.
I work with Ticker. The wristwatch that counts down your life.
Yeah.
I would like to talk to you about the day you are going to die.
How do you know?
Some say everything just goes black, like switching off a light.
Go fuck yourself.
Others say it's actually quite pretty. Now, imagine someone told you that you only had 1 year left to live. How would that change your life?
Yeah, would it?
For all of us, life comes with a best before date.
The end
of one day, we'll find ourselves at the end of the line. Gee, you're thinking this is a really depressing video.
Yes, I am.
But wait,
thinking that.
There's good news too.
No. All right.
While death is non-negotiable, life isn't.
Shut up.
The good news is that life is what you make of it.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Boy, can it be
Check your privilege at the door.
All we have to do is learn how to cherish the time and the life that we have been given.
Oh, Christ.
To honor it. Suck the marrow from it.
No.
Seize the day. And
no. Suck the marrow from it.
This is what is wrong with the world today.
Is,
you don't want
to
suck marrow out of
something. Seconds, days, and years are passing never to come again.
I don't
and
need
to
this
make
reminder.
The right choices,
does anybody need this reminder?
Anger
Shit,
or
I'm going to die. Every moment
TikTok,
it's reminded, I'm going to die.
Wearing a frown or a smile. TikTok.
Shut the fuck up.
How many
happy
seconds are we
upset
wasting listening to
TikTok
this guy tell us TikTok?
That's why we've created
Yeah, make
Ticker,
every second
the death
count.
Watch that
TikTok
counts down your life. Just so you can make every second count. Ticker is a wristwatch that counts
How long
down
does
your
go
life
on for?
I need Becca face cam on this
and
one.
And motivates you
I
to make
limited
the right
seconds
choices. Ticker will be there to remind you to make the most of your life, and most importantly, to be happy. Imagine someone told you that you only had X years to live. What would you do?
I would continue to live my life just the way I do. We are not promised tomorrow, so there's nothing to change.
Thanks, Hawaiian Shirt Guy.
I would forgive myself, my self-judgments, and pursue at least three things I have always feared. One of those things would be parachuting.
Thanks, Sweater Vest Argyle Guy.
Make a point to tell my children how much I love them.
Yeah, because, yeah, make a point to do that, Christiana.
Can we pause this just for a second?
Most of all, live in the...
Sorry.
Okay, I mean, because you've actually seen this, I'm having trouble just understanding what is the watch face actually doing?
The watch face has...
counting down.
It's counting down until you die.
But what is that arbitrary date that it has picked?
It's
actuarial.
Or do you set
right
it for like a year or something?
It's based upon a survey that you take.
Actuarial tables.
Oh, I've seen those on the internet.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. For a second I thought it was going to be, because you know there's kind of a, I don't think it's Buddhist.
Obligatory Steve Jobs thing.
Like Stephen Levin.
Right. It's a Steve. There's just have a Steve Jobs
Sorry
quote on there.
Oh, well, there's a book by Stephen Levin, I think, called like 1 Year to Live, where you take on this spiritual practice where you act as if you are only going to live for 1 year, and you get all your stuff in order and you make all your amends and you do all that stuff. And you know, you're probably really not going to die in 365 days. But so I thought maybe the watch was like that. Like you set it for like a year.
Oh, no. It tells you how many years you have left.
I think actuarial tables are usually if they have actual actuaries, those people are scary accurate, and therefore I don't want to know.
I do not want to know.
But it's based on if I don't change a thing about my life and never exercise more or do this, then I'm going to die at this
or
date
ever get hit by a bus or
it's
you
all
know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not going to get one.
It's so
I've decided.
There's something really weird about the tone of this thing where they're like, it's the death watch that makes you happy. Like, what?
Make every second count. You know what I have to say about the death watch?
Well, I'm opposed to the whole thing.
Exactly.
Here, Homer.
Eat it, Ticker.
So you're not going to give them a
I'm not going to support them on Kickstarter.
Okay, but they're probably going to get support because of the show Colbert, right?
I think they're probably going to get a lot of really weird comments.
I mean, the whole thing, like, that's why I hate stupid, you know, Pinteresty, Facebooky platitudes, you know, live each day like it was your last. If I was really living, if I lived each day like it was my last,
I'd never go to work.
I wouldn't go to work. I wouldn't do anything. Yeah. I wouldn't do anything at all. I'd probably like steal some shit from a store. I don't know what I would do.
Well, maybe
but I wouldn't.
You get bored though and want to do something that your heart calls you to do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a real. It's a real nice thought. Well, to do what your heart's calling you to do. My heart is calling me to do a lot of things right now, but unfortunately, the need for me to continue to house my family and maintain health coverage prevents me from doing what my heart is calling me to do. Mm-hmm. Like you can set long-term goals to like make that a reality, and that's fine. But to me, a death clock would not motivate me to that.
Oh, it wouldn't motivate me to either.
I would be so horribly depressed every day.
I'd
be like, oh my God, it's slipping away.
This idea, you should choose to be happy. Like, that's great. That's awesome. That's just what the person who really is never going to have life skills to do more than like basic labor, in which there is no shame, needs to be reminded, like, well,
yeah,
that's
I mean,
I'm going to do every day.
There are people that make almost no money, that have very few skills, and they can be happy. A lot of times, there are a lot of situations.
And they're not
going
to spend their money on a watch.
Right. You're not
going to tell them when they're
going to
die.
You're not going to do that. And, I mean, to an extent, I think you can choose to be happy or choose to be sad or upset, but there are going to be things that come along that are going to mitigate those things all the time. I mean, you're right. It's not as simple as, I'm going to choose to be happy and do whatever, blah, 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 blah. Shut up.
Well, no, of course that simplifies it, but I guess as someone who has gone through a major life transition and sitting next to someone else who's gone through a major life transition, I guess there's something to be said for trying to pursue something and, you know, ignoring the comfort of what you have and stretching a bit if you can, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I have a luxury. I guess I have a luxury of being able to have the privilege of having that opportunity now. I don't know. Never mind.
White privilege. No.
Yeah.
Jewish privilege. No, it's not.
It's not. There's no white privilege.
I'm kidding.
Some people are in a position where they have the resources to do whatever. Like, I'm terribly irresponsible about a lot of stuff, which is why I don't have the option to, like, do those things. And that's my... No, I'm not sad about it. I'm just, like, realistic, you know?
You're a parent, and that makes a huge difference in the level of responsibility, you know?
That's true.
We didn't manage to get there, so now we have more freedom to quit our jobs and be like, la, la, la.
We have three cats, though.
And I will say this as a salute to you, Ted. It takes a lot of fucking stones to just go, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. And just go, you know what? I'm going to figure out something else, and I just don't want to do this anymore right now, and I'll figure it out, and I'll do what I got to do. I don't think I could do that.
No, I couldn't. But I haven't made the decisions to, like, set myself up to be able to make that decision.
Right.
Responsible people, well, I think, do that.
I appreciate that. If I, you know, it's also like sitting through a job for X years and thinking, wow, I hate this job, but I really should move on, doing that long enough. Eventually you build momentum to leave your job. It wasn't like, I don't know. It took me a while to do it. But anyway.
I mean, I left a job without another job for a variety. Well, the biggest reason was I had a boss, a radio station owner, who for the first year or so I worked there, he was in town every other week. And I didn't really get along with him. He was kind of overbearing, and he was a dick, and he's dead now, and I'm sure he's burning in hell if that place exists. But that's where he can still smoke. But it was announced he was retiring from his main business, and he was going to be there all the time. And I'm like, I can't work here if he's here all the time. I'll be miserable. So I quit my job, moved to a different town, and found some other jobs. I worked three jobs for a while, but I was 23 years old. So it's a huge, when you're 23, it's a lot easier to go, what the fuck? If I lose it all, I'll move back home and figure it out, you know?
There's a, I think it was a Slate article, Slate, Salon, one of them, making the rounds. I posted on Facebook, I pulled it from someone else's wall, whatever, that is a woman doing a takedown of the, like, the do what you love what you do thing, which is awesome. And that is, like, there's a measure of a making a choice, like, if you're going to be a Walmart greeter, you're going to be the best fucking greeter in the world. If you're going to bag groceries, you're going to bag the best groceries in the world. Like, you can choose to find satisfaction in something that you do. But on the other hand, it is sort of like a, oh God, just shut up. Sometimes we need to adopt the office space mentality of, like, nobody loves their job. You go and do it, and then you do something else in your life that makes you happy and satisfied if you can't find, like, the dream job. But the article's argument was that this notion comes from a place of privilege, and it devalues other work. I don't really think that anybody picking strawberries in a field all day loves their job because it sucks and it's literally backbreaking work. So if we're like, oh, you're not really self-actualized enough because you probably don't love your work and you're not doing what you love, like, that's bullshit. We need people in every sector of the labor market or the world's going to stop functioning. So maybe we should just, like, put the platitudes down for a while.
People do your thing.
So
I just saw, and who knows, because you know how these things go around on the internet attributed to people, but it was a quote attributed to Kurt Vonnegut, and he said it was encouraging people to go into the arts, and it said, like, the arts is not a way to make a living, it's a way to make it through life. And and it was sort of separating that idea that your money has to come from your highest ideals, you know, that those two things can live in tandem. And as someone right now who's making a living primarily as a proofreader, and it's supporting all this other stuff that I want to do, I'm so happy right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, if you had asked me even a year ago, like, what job are you angling for? I wouldn't have been like, proofreader is top of the list, you know? But I actually, it's work that I love, and I understand why it's important, at least to nerds like me. And
to nerds like me, too.
And it's totally supporting everything else that I want to do right now. And so it's awesome. And I think I'm finally, I used to put a lot of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't I a novelist? Why aren't I, you know, like, yeah. why aren't I making living as
Where's
a
my Pulitzer? God yeah. damn it.
Like, I like doing comedy. I guess that means I have to move to LA, you yeah. know? And like, and now I'm kind of seeing like, oh, there's balance in life. You yeah. know?
Absolutely.
There is like last example I want to throw out for this, like the do what you love, whatever, is there was a guy, I remember this conversation so vividly, first year of law school, like a couple of weeks into it. So when you're still just getting to know the people in your new school, and we were over at someone's house to have like a study session or whatever, mainly to drink. And
if there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
Right. And there was a guy there who sounds, bless him, sounded exactly like the turtle from Finding Nemo. Like the surfer turtle. I am not even exaggerating. Seriously. Everything he said was just like surfer guy. And I remember he as assholes do in school sometimes, and I participated, so I was also being an asshole, talking about other people in the class. And in law school, there are these, we call them gunners, you know, the kids whose like hand is the first hand up, and they're gunners. And he was talking about the gunner in our class, and she's super annoying, and she never had anything actually valid to offer, but she just was trying to, you know, get in there. And he said, you know, what makes, you know, the thing about her is she's never going to be a great lawyer because she's only in it for the money. And I wanted to be like, bitch, I'm in it for the money. I saw the Cosby Show. I want the fancy Claire Huxtable's a lawyer. Look what she got. So, yeah, which is really easy for somebody who literally spent his year between college and law school just like living on his dad's yacht in the Marin Harbor or whatever. You right. know, yeah, motherfucker, she's doing it for the money. Yeah. Is it she's not going to be as good a lawyer because she's not like doing it for the right reasons, not as noble and pure as you. Fuck yourself.
Yeah,
that's to me like the dividing line of like love what you do. Like you're not. It's not really going to be a pure practice for her. It's not legit because she's not doing it because she loves it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said for doing something you love, though.
Oh no, there's absolutely something to be said for doing something you love. But the notion that like the work, her work would have less value, or like she didn't deserve to be in school because her motivation was that this is going to provide me a very sound income on which I can build a future with my family. That's kind of ridiculous. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's why people become engineers.
I fear that Ted has taken this entire conversation very personally as an indictment of his life choices.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Quite the contrary.
I hope not.
No, my life choices are
so.
I believe I've applauded Ted's life choices.
I know, and that's because we
And the stones to go along with it.
Yes, you have many stones.
So many stones.
Or at least two.
I would hope only two.
I guess, well, we had a plumber come over the other day, and he was the best plumber I've ever had, and he had this fantastic rating on Yelp, and he was telling me that he loves what he does, and he loves to be a plumber, and that's part of the reason he does such an awesome job at it. And I've had some really crappy plumbers who obviously don't want to be in my house and don't want to work on what they're there to do. They just want to make money as plumbers. So that's what I think about when you tell the story of this girl who wants to be a lawyer just for the money. That's mm-hmm. the risk of doing it just for the money. You're going to be, you may end up miserable because you're doing something you don't want to do. So,
yeah,
I mean, but the judging someone else's life choices, I agree, is not the best way to go about it.
I would agree with that.
And that plumber was fantastic.
He was awesome.
He was amazing. Oh. I was trying to make small talk with him, and he was like so focused on the plumbing that he was like having trouble keeping up with the small talk. And I was like, I'm just going to let you work. He's like, okay. Like, not in a rude way at all, but just
Thank God. All right. Since we promised this earlier, a female high school student who was having sex in the back of a Pennsylvania school bus allegedly struck another pupil in the testicles after the younger onlooker began to laugh and chuckle when she, quote, expelled wind during the lewd performance. That's according to police.
God.
Yeah. Here's the police report, which has since been changed. It originally said both the victim and the accused were riding school bus. The accused expelled wind from the vulva during coitus while at the back of the bus.
Do you approve of that language usage, Christiana?
I don't approve of cops at all today. So.
Okay.
Expelled wind from the vulva during coitus while at the back of the bus. The victim began to laugh and chuckled at the accused for her actions. The accused approached the victim and elbowed him in the testicles.
Ah.
The accused was cited for harassment. So, it's a 18-year-old woman and a 13-year-old boy.
Holy crap. He's just a kid.
Yep. He is. He was probably a junior high kid riding the bus. And
riding
the bus.
The bus.
I believe the moral of the story here is if you're going to have sex in the bus,
don't make it statutory rape.
No. But there's no mention of who she was having sex with.
Oh.
It
wasn't. It wasn't necessarily.
Oh, she wasn't having sex with a 13-year-old.
No.
I
misheard
okay, right.
No, it was an onlooker.
The onlooker.
The 13-year-old laughed immaturely at the sound.
That still probably lands you on Megan's list. I think if you're doing it in front of a 13-year-old,
or
not Megan,
or a busload of them.
Yeah, I think you're still in trouble.
That's the part that gives me pause. Is like, why are we having sex in the back of the bus when there's other people on the bus?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
this is America. You can have sex in the front of the bus if you want.
Right, it's what Rosa Parks fought for. Or not at all.
Sorry.
So, by the way, if you're going to be doing it in the back of the bus and you queef, which is a natural function and it happens, don't be surprised if the 13-year-old finds it funny and laughs at you.
Yeah.
Just saying. We didn't get a lot of coverage of, did anybody watch the Grammys?
I did.
All right.
I never do, but I did last night.
I did not. And because I didn't, we're going to go through someone who did watch the Grammys last night and live tweeted it, apparently, the Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik.
You're going to take something I don't know anything about and combine it with something I know a slight bit about, thus meaning that my knowledge has no use.
Oh, this is just sit back and let the Iron Sheik cover the Grammys for you, as I am doing.
Who had giraffe tits? Who wore giraffe tits best?
Well, get ready, because here we go. It starts out with Kathy Griffin equals McNugget tits.
What is that? Like, what does that mean, I wonder?
I don't know.
Very tiny and brown?
It's all
his processed?
His next tweet, and this is in all caps, fuck the hashtag Grammy red carpet. Next, who better, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis or Nikolai Volkoff, Iron Sheik? Next fucking question.
That was his tag team partner.
It was.
They were both from countries that America did not approve of.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, they were bad guys.
Next tweet, Miley Cyrus win Grammy for pancake ass. Hashtag Grammys.
Pancake ass?
Pancake ass.
Flat and light and fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious with syrup.
I'm gonna skip ahead. Madonna, be careful I don't come to the Los Angeles and I snap your fucking neck. Hashtag Grammys.
Yikes, that's not
That's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm. But he turns. Beyonce always Iron Sheik class. Hashtag Grammys. Yeah. He continues with the praise. Iron Sheik, Beatles, same thing. Hashtag
Seriously,
Grammys.
The snap your fucking neck thing is kind of...
It's the Iron Sheik.
I know, but it's a step too far.
Pharrell, take that fucking dead dog hat off or I never respect you. Hashtag Grammys.
I would rather be reading the Twitter feed of Pharrell's hat, which does have its own Twitter feed. If you didn't, you need... Just Google... Do me a favor. Google Ted, you got your phone out. Google Pharrell's hat, just so you both can see.
Pharrell's
it's
hat?
Like, yeah, Pharrell Williams hat.
Pharrell.
It is sort of like the equivalent of, it's either like an overly big Mountie hat.
Can you spell Pharrell's again?
P-H-A-R-R.
P-H-A-R-R.
E-L-L.
E-L-L.
Or like a raisin or like a Smokey the Bear thing or I don't know what it is. But he had a thing to wear like really big hats all night.
Mm.
That was his thing.
Okay. Different ones?
He at least two. There was one main hat and that will be the one that will come up. I'm
so
confident.
It looks sort of like a Mountie.
Yeah.
So at this point, the Iron Sheik started flipping back and forth between the Grammys and the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
So I'll skip all of the Royal Rumble stuff. But he then tweeted, Jeffrey Dahmer, Taylor Swift, same thing. Hashtag Grammys. I didn't know Taylor Swift was a cannibal. Bruno Mars, intelligent Jew. Hashtag Grammys.
Aw.
Hello, Lord.
Wait, is Bruno Mars Jewish?
I don't know. He then tweeted, hello, Lord. Please shut the fuck up. Hashtag Grammys.
Hello, Lord?
Lord. Yeah, she won a Grammy.
Oh, Lord, that Lord.
Okay. Yeah, that Lord.
Her performance was weird. Like, how you go from having that much money and probably, you know, studio record producer input and have that kind of bad hair on national TV. I don't know.
Mm, well, so you and the Iron Sheik on the same page with
that.
Yeah, I think so. Can I just say something?
Of course.
I Googled Bruno Mars, Jewish or not, and there's a site called JewOrNotJew.com.
Yeah.
He's barely a Jew.
Oh, okay.
All right, just going to put that out there.
He's barely a Jew? How is one
I don't
barely
know.
A Jew?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe Jew way back in the bloodline. I don't know.
I'll look it up and tell you.
It's fine. The Ozzy Osbourne, dead or alive on the TV, hashtag Grammys. here's one that you'll like, Ted, because it combines wrestling and music. Imagine Dragons or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, hashtag Grammys. Which would you pick?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
Yeah, of course.
He was a fantastic
wrestler.
Is
somebody exercising upstairs?
Yeah, it could be.
I'm trying to figure out what that is. It screwed me out.
It's January. They've picked up their New Year's resolution again.
We only have another couple days to go then before they give it up.
And his final Grammys tweet, Daft Punk, New Generation Demolition, hashtag Grammys. So now, if you didn't watch the Grammys, you now know everything that went on, according to the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, and Ted Googled the hat. I feel completely caught up now.
Yeah, you've seen the hat.
All you missed.
And I read the article in the New York Times today about Macklemore winning Best Rap Album and White Privilege, so I'm completely caught up now.
Even Macklemore didn't want to win.
I know he apologized, but they were like, oh, maybe that was part of his calculated rise to fame.
God,
there was a two-page analysis of his tweet.
It's the Grammys. It's always a split between let's give Paul McCartney another Grammy let's give whoever's the hot thing just this second a Grammy. Maybe we'll accidentally award like whatever was the most meritorious CD this year, but we won't mean to. Yeah. It's the Grammys. Yeah.
I think that's just the thing, like white rappers tend to win, like Eminem's won like five times or whatever. And it is kind of weird when it's like Macklemore versus Jay-Z and Kanye this year.
Yeah.
And it's like,
All right, now you've heard every Jay-Z album.
No.
And then the Iron Sheik, because he's a man of the people, like many of us, tweeted this morning, as we record this on Monday, good morning, Monday. Please go fuck yourself forever.
That's legit.
It is. It's totally legit.
Oh, Christiana and the Iron Sheik finally see eye to eye.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let that snap your neck thing go.
No.
Call him out on Twitter.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Yeah, you call the Iron Sheik out on Twitter. He might come back to you. You never
know. My neck, too? That sounds awesome.
Well, I don't think he would.
He'd be like Ted Samson.
Would you call me a smart Jew?
Yeah, Ted Samson, intelligent Jew. Hashtag Nate Darling Show.
Hey,
Becca Costello, giraffe tits.
Aww.
Hashtag Nate Darling Show.
Hey, we got some small town news for you from the Twin City Pioneer Press.
Where's that?
That's somewhere in the middle of the country. Hey, after word got out this week that a new summer festival in downtown Stillwater would be called the Stillwater Log Jam, a resident contacted Mayor Ken Herricky. Now, city officials are asking the locals, the group planning the music and family festival, to consider another name. Why, you ask? Well, the city has concerns over the name that was chosen. We were made aware, how can I put this delicately, this is the mayor talking, that the name was a vulgar reference that we would prefer to not have associated with a family event in the city.
What, log jam?
Mm-hmm. I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
We don't want to be the laughingstock of the nation. City Administrator Larry Hansen emailed festival organizer Cassie McLemore with the city's request. Somebody brought it to our attention that it could be construed in a sexual way, and we've asked them to consider changing the name. McLemore said to the locals who announced the festival's name, they do not plan to change the name. She said the name was in the group's proposal that the Stillwater City Council approved last fall. Oh, my Lord, McLemore said. Honestly, I mean, how ridiculous do you have to be? Are we 14-year-old boys? Yes, we are. So I went to the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, I don't actually know this phrase.
I don't either. There's multiple definitions, too. A lot of them just have to do with pooping.
Or not pooping?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just scroll down, you get a gathering of dudes or hanging out with only males.
Oh, like a sausage fest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then we get to log jam, sticking two dicks in the ass of a woman.
What?
Stacy is walking a little funny today. She must have got log jammed last night. Yeah, I think that might be what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. The others, yeah, more of that, blah, blah, blah. Yep, that's the one. There's several pages of it, but they want to change it. But the bottom line is, I don't think anybody would have said anything except one person went,
Huh?
I know, and now it's embarrassing because the whole entire town is now considering whether it's like two references, like what, double penetration too much. So like, you know, it's like they take something that's like probably nobody was thinking about and now everybody's thinking about it.
Yep. Hey, welcome to Stillwater, home of double anal. Hey, by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but if you're going to be shopping on Amazon, for whatever you'd like, lube, maybe?
For your next log jam.
Yeah, for your next log jam.
Valentine's Day is coming.
It is. Have a log jam. or whatever you like. Get all of your Valentine's Day gifts, your President's Day gifts, your Groundhog Day gifts on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. It's simple. Go to the website, click the Shop Amazon tab, and have your way with Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show, and we do very much appreciate it because it helps us give you free entertainment every week. Free comedy that is at least 50% funny females.
It's a legit way to spend your limited time, according to your death clock.
And if you have Amazon Prime, you can still, right now, order stuff for your Super Bowl party.
True. Oh.
Get there in time.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Wednesday, isn't it?
Everybody should Google Snackadiums. I just discovered what those were yesterday, and now I want to build one.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Snackadiums.
A vegan Snackadium.
Yeah, somebody made... There's actually a website called Vegan Snackadium 2013.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's a year out of date, but it's still pretty good.
It is a year out of date. But.
You also can order all the pet supplies you'll need for the pet you'll need to adopt after watching the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
With the kitten halftime show.
Oh, the kitten halftime show is the best.
I love that. It's a giant dog food commercial. I don't care. I'm in.
Yeah, it beats Bruno Mars.
Oh, no. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. We leave you with a new Grammy winner. This is Lord.
Oh, Lord.
And Royals. We'll see you on Friday.
Count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't